And so it's time to get ready and hear from the Lord. So can we appreciate, let's put our hand together as we welcome the preacher, the speaker of today, our mother, Professor Muteho Marina.
Sisters and brothers, good morning. We thank God that we are all here by His grace and that we are ready to listen to His voice through the instrument He has chosen. We will read the word of God after my prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you because you love us. You brought us here for a purpose. Sanctify this place. It should be a holy place where we can listen to your voice. Cast out all spirits which do not come from you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to speak to the congregation using us as instrument. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us read the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. You can even read through 9. Peter chapter 1. Yes, I'm looking for it from my phone because I cannot read from the Bible. They are now tiny scriptures. So bear with me. Okay, let us read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 8, whom having not seen you, love, though now you do not see him, yet believe in him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is God's word. Sisters and brothers, I think the sermon is already finished. We heard from the first preachers this morning the same message through the songs. So now, because we have to repeat so that we understand better and more, we still have to go through the same message. The message this morning, you know, these days we are pursuing a theme concerning living in God's covenant. Those who live in God's covenant, now, the topic this morning will lead them to clarify about the source of hope for those in darkness. The gospel is a source of hope for those in darkness. When we talk about this theme, hope, we still have to think of many things. Because in every situation in our life, sometimes we place our hopes in different things. But beforehand, we just go through this text. The gospel was written by Peter. Peter the Apostle. He wrote it to the believers who were almost losing hope due to the situation they were undergoing Asia Minor. Asia Minor is what we call today Turkey, Turkey, for those who can understand it. So these Christians were in trouble in this country because the Christianity came as a strange religion and the Christians were persecuted, they were suffering, they were in trouble. Some might have been killed. And to the point that some could have lost hope. Hope in the gospel they have received. Although they have received the gospel, there was a tendency of retrieving and saying, if it is, this is the way I will be tortured, I'd rather stop. They were in such darkness. This is what we can call darkness. Not darkness only because there is sin, but darkness also because much sufferings can lead people to losing hope. You despair, you feel like relapsing and denying your faith. This is the kind of darkness in which these Christians were staying. So Peter wrote to them to encourage them that despite the trials, they should not lose hope because what they have acquired, the salvation in Jesus Christ, was already a powerful thing which will no longer be grabbed from them because of this kind of intimidation, but they should go forward because what they acquired is for eternal life. They have eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the letter we are reading today. Why do we read this letter today? We might have faced the same kind of situation. Although that we don't have a persecution here, we still have the freedom to worship. But there are also other darkness which can push us, which can lead us to lose hope. Some darkness can be diseases. When you are sick, if you get sick for a long time, you might be wondering, is God still beside me? This is losing hope. This darkness can lead some people to lose hope like that. And not only diseases, poverty. Poverty is also another darkness. Not only that, even looting. Some people have placed their hope in their properties. We can easily understand this kind of situation here in Goma. Not a long time ago, we found out that some people who found their hope in their properties, all of a sudden, the properties were swept away. Sometimes it can push people to lose hope. And this is the kind of darkness. You had a car, you had everything, all of a sudden it disappeared. You know the event. All you are living healthy, all of a sudden we hear that you are shot dead. Nighttime here in Goma, it's like a darkness, genuine darkness, because you don't know whether you will wake up or you will not wake up if you are not dead. You know the situation better than anybody else. So, brothers and sisters, this kind of despair, people can lose hope. This is the reason now why we still need to read these epistles, where we can again see how we can rebuild our strength, because we have to know on what we can found our hope. The gospel is a source of hope in darkness. Hope means that we still know that all what we do not get yet, we will get it. So this can give courage to keep on relying on God. Let us come now to our text as it is written here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter started greeting, reminding the Christians and glorifying the Lord for the purpose, for the reason why they have to have hope. In verse 3, he just showed that God gave us something important through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which will never be grabbed by anybody else. Jesus died for the sinners. He resurrected. He gave us salvation as if we believe in him. This is the reason why, as believers, we can read it. But if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will not be able to understand why we can still have hope despite the trials. In verse 4, Peter talks about inheritance, the inheritance that we got from God, which is not like any inheritance or possessions of this world. We said that people can have inheritance, but sometimes families can even grab the inheritance you have been left by your parents, and you can see an uncle coming and say, no, we get this because this for the family, you are still young, you are still young, I don't know what. But Peter said that we got the inheritance which cannot perish. In verse 4, it is unfading. It cannot disappear as we got it through our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It cannot be grabbed away from us. It cannot even perish. I suppose that somebody can inherit a house from their parents, but after a few years later, you can see the house is fading, decaying, and then at the long run, it can fall down. But this inheritance we got from the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot perish, cannot get spoiled. Why it cannot? It is a treasure which cannot get spoiled. It is eternal because it is rooted on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is eternal because Jesus, who died himself, got resurrected, and he is still living eternally. So he will give us this eternity. This is the inheritance which cannot perish, for which we can boast ourselves and continue having hope. And people who do not know about what for we rejoice, they will say, how can be these people still having hope that they belong to God? Because we know that this inheritance can't be taken away from us. Through verse 5, the same chapter, we have this inheritance. The most powerful is the one who protects the believers. Despite the intimidation, despite the trials, God cannot forsake us. He protects, and he protects our salvation. So, because God is the most powerful, and he's faithful, he cannot mislead us. He cannot deceive us, but he's the most powerful to keep this inheritance, to keep this salvation for us. So we have to be glad and keep our hope because we are longing. This inheritance is awaiting for us. So we don't have to be fearful despite the intimidation. Who can be greater than God? I saw the first preachers here singing that God is greater. Nobody can defeat us. I loved that one when I heard the choir singing it. I said, I don't know it in memory, but I wish I sing it again all the time. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. It talks about the trials and the purpose of trials in the covenant. To be in the covenant with God doesn't mean that the trial will be also swept away. Because we live this in life, so we have to know that trials are there. But what is this? Well, we were thinking that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have a smooth life, no problem, no difficulties. You know, trials will always be there. But trials will not prevail. It will have an end. It's temporary. We are here temporarily, so the trials, sufferings are also temporary. They don't have the last say, because God himself is protecting us and he's the master of the time. Trials, Peter explained to the believers that this is a test. God tests us whether we'll still remain faithful to him. And this test, it's like a refinery where when we go through this test, we will be purified like a gold which passed from the refinery machine. Let us remember the story of Job. Job himself, he passed through this kind of test. It's painful. It's really painful. It's a sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice because we have hope that God cannot forsake us, cannot lie, that he's keeping our inheritance in heaven. We are longing to that one, the genuine salvation when Jesus will be revealed to us at the end of the time. Trials are also some kind of purifying gold. We have to be purified. I have experienced that. If you never experienced it, I passed through a big disease. I was suffering a lot. At a certain moment, I just asked God, can you pull my life? And I want to be with you instead of suffering. But God didn't. He knows the time. He said, no, it's not yet the time. But the more I was suffering, the more I was holding on God, putting my confidence, my trust in God, because I knew that I cannot survive without God. So, and trials are there also to check how strong, to strengthen even our faith. I can believe that when I compare what I am today and what I was yesterday, before I passed through this suffering, I can say maybe I'm better than before. That's what I think. And that's what I feel too. So trials is not only for putting you down, but to sanctify you. So we don't have to lose hope, but instead we have to cling to God's power. Also, trials can shape our characters. You believe, you commit yourself to God, the only one rock on which we can attach our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It is said that faith is rooted in God's promises. The faith, if you come back to the verse, you will see the key idea is that faith is rooted in God's promise. God promised us the salvation. Although those believers didn't see yet this salvation because they still undergo persecution and sufferings, but Peter reminds them that no, we have to stick on God's promises of our salvation. when you read John chapter 3, verse 16, so God, he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but has eternal life. This is a promise. We still have to die, but we still believe in this promise because God is faithful. He never forsaken anybody. So the relationship in this verse 8, it is also shown that the relationship with Christ will bring joy. We are joyful. They were joyful despite the suffering. They need to be joyful because they know that very soon they will experience their salvation, the salvation of their souls. This is the reason why Peter continued to remind these Christians so that they don't lose hope. Once we don't lose hope, God will be also glorified. We will love Jesus more because despite the trials, we will love him more. You can see some people in this world, all they are, if they believed in this, they are always happy despite the suffering, poverty. You will see somebody boasting for Christ and you say, this person also, he can spend his time worshiping and trying to show that he's still happy despite the sufferings. It is because we rely on the promise of God. God who never, never changed. It's an unchangeable inheritance we have. This morning, as I introduced this, some of us here might have the same problem as the first believers to whom this letter was written. I think we really need to remind each other very soon, it's a short time, we will experience and we'll get back our inheritance. We are joyful and we will enjoy more the glory of God when he will reveal it as it is at the end of the time. So the promise is a heavenly promise. The inheritance is a heavenly inheritance that will come very soon. It will be revealed very soon. Don't lose hope. Suffering and trials cannot be avoided in this earth, in this world. But let us take it positively to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our hope. Because of sufferings, we should not give up with our faith. God is faithful and powerful. Even Satan cannot grab this inheritance from God because God is the most high and the most powerful. So it is secured. Our inheritance is well protected, like something we secure in what we call today coffre fort. But still in coffre fort, they can destroy it. But God is not like that. He's beyond. Trial cannot be beyond this. Trial will always be there, but cannot be beyond our hope. And because we already acquire the eternal life through the belief, through the faith in Jesus Christ. Today, as we are intimidated by this, the current situation, I still call back to you, to your hope. Don't lose hope. Very soon, God will deliver us. Don't lose hope. Instead, these trials should build our confidence to the Lord, and we'll be more joyful when we'll see that God is on our side. Our hope is built, is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. May God bless this word for each one of us.